Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
As we finished off the first hour of the program, I was saying that the game that stands out the most to me of all of these is Ravens-Bills, because it gives us the opportunity to find out the question, is there going to be a Peyton Manning to Patrick Mahomes as Tom Brady? Now, I understand, based on the way that Tom Brady has played this year, Brady may play five more years in the NFL. I think it's clear he's going to play at the age of 45. Maybe he's going to play at the age of 48. Who knows how much longer Tom Brady is going to be able to play at an incredibly high level. But I think it's fair to say that given his youth, there is no one that is anywhere near as accomplished as Patrick Mahomes. And given that we have some older guys, and maybe this is their last run, maybe it's not, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, guys who have already won Super Bowls, who have won at a high level for a generation, basically. Who is that guy that has a possibility to rise to the same level as Patrick Mahomes in some way? I think we have a chance to see, with all of the young guns going up against Patrick Mahomes down the stretch run of the playoffs here. First up is Baker Mayfield. Now, I don't know about you guys. I don't think Baker Mayfield is on anywhere near the same level so far in his career as what Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have accomplished. But all of our perceptions of Baker Mayfield would change in one afternoon if he went on the road Sunday and beat the Chiefs with his Cleveland Brown teammates. All of a sudden, instead of being a guy known for television commercials and for the challenges and pratfalls of the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield would turn into a legitimate contender to make a run to the Super Bowl. That is a life-changing position that Baker Mayfield could find himself in as a third-year starting quarterback. And we would maybe have to start to answer the question, is Patrick Mahomes maybe not so far head and shoulders above everybody else around his own age? But like most of you, I feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to get that win. And so, who is going to win between Lamar Jackson and between Josh Allen to take that trip, theoretically, to Kansas City with a chance to earn a trip to Tampa in the Super Bowl? To me, it's Josh Allen, and not necessarily because Josh Allen is in any way head and shoulders above Lamar Jackson, although he has played better this year, but because I like the Stephon Diggs addition for the Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen more than I like anybody on the offensive side of the ball for the Baltimore Ravens who's able to help Lamar Jackson. Probably Mark Andrews, the best weapon that Lamar Jackson has outside of himself. Hollywood Brown really hasn't been consistent as a game-breaking force. The Ravens don't throw the ball to their receivers enough down the field to make a tremendous difference. The security blanket for Lamar Jackson is Mark Andrews. Given the choice between Mark Andrews or Stephon Diggs, who do I think is going to make a big play in a game when it's needed to be made? I think it's Stephon Diggs, particularly because the Ravens play so much man-to-man defense. Diggs has been almost impossible for anybody to cover this year, and with the big arm of Josh Allen, I think he's going to give them a chance to make a play late that gives the Bills a win and puts Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes into the AFC Championship game. On the NFC side, ultimately, I think that the Packers are going to have too much juice offensively for the Rams to keep up. I don't necessarily like the Packers as big of a favorite as they are in what I expect to be a low-scoring game, but I think Aaron Rodgers and Lambeau will find a way to get his team to the NFC Championship game to beat the Rams. If that happens, then that leads us into the second most intriguing game of the day, in my mind, on Sunday. What is going to happen with the Bucks going on the road against the Saints? I like the Bucks here. I think Tom Brady is going to find a way to get past the Saints. It's not a normal ruckus environment in the Superdome. Drew Brees, this could be his final game. I love watching both of these guys play. I think it's going to be a shootout. But ultimately, I believe Brady is going to find a way to get past the Saints. So I think we're going to get Brady on the road in Lambeau against the Packers. I think we're going to get the Bills on the road against the Chiefs in Kansas City. That is what I am anticipating going forward. Now, what I used to do all the time, and I didn't do it last week, is I want to look at the quarterbacks and pick how we are going to see the breakdown entirely based on the quarterbacks. All right? If you were just looking at these matchups and picking the best quarterback, who would you take? Rams, Packers, no contest. Jared Goff against Aaron Rodgers, you would take the Packers. Ravens, Bills, I think is a coin flip. I really do. Playing better this year is Josh Allen. Playing better last year was Lamar Jackson. Better defense, the Ravens. But the Bills are at home. I'm giving a check to Josh Allen because of Stephon Diggs. So I'm expecting the Packers and the Bills to be your winners on Saturday. Sunday, I don't think there's any contest. Patrick Mahomes against Baker Mayfield. Patrick Mahomes. Bucks Saints, another coin flip. I think Brady is playing better this year, which is why I'm going to pick the Bucks. A lot of really good matchups for the NFL. They would be ecstatic, I think, no matter how this comes out, because there are going to be some great games to sell. But I want to bring in Dub. What do you expect to happen in these scenarios? How would you predict that these four games are going to go?
Well, I gotta say right now, if I'm a Packers fan, I'm probably a little nervous. I don't know. I can't.
92% of the money is on your team. Yeah. Nobody's giving the Rams a chance at all.
And Ryan Glasbiegel came on earlier in the last hour, and he was
mentioning, a Packers fan.
Right,
that's right.
And he was saying it this year or this scenario is kind of giving him flashbacks to their 15-1 season. And I can't help but to agree with him because this Rams defense is insanely good.
They have the two best. I think it's maybe the most underrated storyline coming into these games. They have the two best defensive players in the NFL. Aaron Donald is the best defensive lineman right now in the NFL. I don't think there's hardly anybody out there that would argue with me. And the best cornerback is Jalen Ramsey. The best member of any secondary in the NFL is Jalen Ramsey. They're the two best. Do you agree with me? Those are the two best defensive players in the NFL?
I totally agree. And people are, you know, looking ahead to these games and saying, oh, we got Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen and we got Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. I want to see Devontae Adams versus Jalen Ramsey.
It's because a great matchup.
Because that's a matchup that actually goes on head-to-head. You know, Brady and Brees aren't, you know, technically playing each other. They're playing each other's defenses. This is going to be taking place right in front of our eyes on the field. Maybe the best receiver in the NFL, and I think certainly the best corner in the NFL. I can't wait to watch that matchup in particular.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt at all. When we come back, we're going to be joined, by the way, by John McClain. He is one of the best that has ever covered the NFL. He's been doing it for 45 years. We'll see how he thinks Urban Meyer is going to do as a new coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll also ask him what he thinks about the Deshaun Watson drama since he's in Houston. I'll even ask him what he thinks about the James Harden drama, and we'll have him break down these four games with us. Should be a lot of fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
John McClain joins us now. John has been covering the NFL for, I believe, it is 45 years. Big news afoot last night. Officially, Urban Meyer named the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We have been talking about it on the program as we have been moving throughout. John, you've watched a lot of Jags games over the years. They play your Texans that you've been covering for some time twice a year. How do you think Urban Meyer will do? And based on conversations that you have had, is there any doubt at all that the Jags will be pairing Urban Meyer as the head coach with Trevor Lawrence as their franchise quarterback, presumably of the future.
No doubt whatsoever about Meyer getting Trevor Lawrence. Based on everything I've been told, Shad Khan, the owner, who's been talking to him quite a while, is adamant he wants Trevor Lawrence because it'll help them sell tickets when things get back to normal. I thought it was very interesting, Clay, that the University of Texas approached Meyer and they were told he was not coming back to coach for health reasons. He's retired two times for health reasons. So either Shad Khan had already been in touch with him or his health got a lot better real fast, because you never know how a head coach is going to do and when he spent his whole career in college. Nick Saban's a good example. But Meyer's won everywhere he's been. He's had exciting offenses. He's coached a lot of great players who went on to be great in the NFL. I think it's going to be good for the league and especially good for the AFC South. But something people have to remember, since Shad Khan's been the owner there, their team has been awful except for 2017. And when they won, so many of their star players wanted to bail on them. So that culture has got to change. They have to start paying players when they deserve to be played. But I can't wait to see Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence two times a season.
How much does this make the Jags a story unlike they've almost ever been a story before? And let me unpack exactly what I'm asking there. The Jags have made playoff runs before. They did it with Mark Brunell. They did it with Blake Bortles. Those haven't necessarily been playoff runs that have sort of grabbed the attention of the nation and made people care outside of that playoff run. I would believe that Urban Meyer, being the cultural flashpoint he is in the world of football, you either love or hate him, and now Trevor Lawrence with all of the expectations, this is going to make the Jags a really compelling storyline in the NFL. We didn't talk about him hardly at all throughout this entire season on OutKick. I think we'll be talking about him a ton now.
That's a great way to describe it, compelling. They're going to have multiple national TV games for the first time since probably 2018, when people thought they were going to be a Super Bowl contender
right
after they reached the AFC Championship game. So the fact that Urban Meyer has coached all over the country, he's been on the West Coast, he's been there close to the West Coast, he's been in Mid-America, I think it, now he's on the East Coast, I think this will get a lot of attention in the NFL, it'll get a lot of attention in college football, and then, of course, with Trevor Lawrence going there, and they got some good receivers. They've got some good offensive linemen. They just need to improve their defense. They had a good rookie running back, James Robinson, but they have botched a lot of high draft choices, like Blake Bortles, who was third overall. But it doesn't look like, if everybody's right, they're going to botch Trevor Lawrence. They just got to make sure they put people around him. They have the resources to do it with draft choices and salary cap money.
What's a reasonable expectation for Urban Meyer? Okay, I mean, he's won three national championships, two at Florida, one at Ohio State. He's won everywhere, went undefeated at Utah, as you mentioned. He's coached all over the country. And if you look at the college coach to the NFL ranks, I believe I'm correct, three have won a Super Bowl after winning a national championship. We've got Pete Carroll, Jimmy Johnson, and Barry Switzer. You would probably know better than me. I think I'm hitting all three of them that have managed to do that. Do you think Urban Meyer joins that club, or is that too high of a standard to set for him?
Boy, that's a high standard. I've had asked me that after the first season to see how he does as a rookie. You know, we would think if Nick Saban had stayed in Miami that maybe and got control of personnel, which he didn't have, that maybe Nick would have won a championship.
Or if he'd taken Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper.
Yeah, well, he wanted Drew Brees.
Yeah, right. That's a great story.
Culpepper coming off a knee injury was shoved down his throat and it didn't work out. And of course he went back to Alabama. When Jimmy Johnson came to the Cowboys, everybody thought they were nuts. Why in the world would they want a college coach? And he turned out to be great. Barry Switzer, that shocked everybody. And he won a Super Bowl with Jimmy's players, did a great job that one season. And so they got a long way to go to be in a position to do that. I mean, they're awful. They got the first pick. They were so bad the Texans swept them, as bad as they were. But what they've got to have there is a culture change, confidence. People believe in the organization. Fans to get behind them. And I think Urban Meyer can do it, but they got to worry over there. He's retired twice for health reasons. He's under a lot of pressure. Do we think he'll last more than 2 or 3 years, considering why he's had to retire two times?
What do you think his – so let me take a step back, and we've talked about this some on the show already. Urban Meyer is not now a play-calling guy who is enmeshed in the minute-by-minute management of the offense or defense. He used to be at a younger age in college football. It seems to me he's being brought in to establish the culture of the Jacksonville Jaguars and be the overarching CEO of the team. Do you think he is a good fit with Trevor Lawrence based on what you know about Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence, from everything we know, is very coachable.
Yes.
He's been that way since high school. He gets to stay close to home. I think Urban Meyer needs experienced NFL coordinators on both sides of the ball, someone who has worked developing quarterbacks. He needs a really good quarterback coach. Urban Meyer knows what a good quarterback is. He's coached a bunch of them and throughout his career, especially at Ohio State. But I think he's going to have to manage a game, clock management. He's going to have to be in there working on personnel. There's a lot of pressure that goes on with coming in this situation and having the top pick. But people are going to be fired up. Everybody's going to be interested. I just hope the pressure is not too much on him to where he has more health issues, because he's a great story.
It's interesting for Urban Meyer, because in college, if you lose three games at a place like Ohio State or Florida, the season's a disaster. You go 9-3, people are up in arms. God forbid you go 8-4 at either of those places. In college, that is a poor season. In the NFL, if he could go 8-8 in his first season at Jacksonville, people would be ecstatic. Have you talked any at all with college coaches and understanding what success looks like in the NFL and how to cope with losing in a way that, frankly, you don't have to do in college when you're at a top program?
It's happened to a lot. Look at Chip Kelly. Everybody thought Chip Kelly was going to be a success. He had one good year at Philadelphia, and it just overwhelmed him. Now he's back in college football. I think today coaches are more knowledgeable about the NFL, about the differences in college football. And I think if a good head coach hires good assistant coaches, and that doesn't mean coordinators, good position coaches, starting with quarterbacks in the offensive line, they have a better chance to succeed. Usually a head coach's first staff is his worst, because he brings in his friends. And then if he figures out they got to go, like Mike McCarthy did with Mike Nolan, they got a better chance to turn it around. And so I hope Urban Meyer gets an experienced NFL staff instead of bringing in a lot of his college buddies, because it is a whole different game in the personalities of the players. You know, the union runs baseball, the agents and the players run basketball, and the owners run the NFL, but the agents and players are getting more of a chance to do that, and Urban Meyer's got to understand what he's getting into, the different restrictions he's getting into. But he's a smart guy. You can't win everywhere like he does and not have a really good chance to be successful on the next level.
His health is an interesting point, and you mentioned that, and I want to circle back around on it. I talk to coaches, as I'm sure you do, and some of them look on the NFL season with some measure of excitement, who are college coaches. And the reason I bring it up, and I know it's a grind and I know it's tough, but they say, hey, when you're in NFL, you got the draft. You don't have to be texting 16, 17, and 18-year-old kids all the time, obsessed with what that next recruiting class looks like. Now, the flip side is you can't go sign 10 first-round draft picks in the NFL either. You only get one, and it's a lot tougher to win. But the NFL schedule is arguably more forgiving to having a life outside of the NFL season, even more so post-COVID, where I think a lot of teams recognized, hey, a lot of the time maybe we're not being as productive as we thought we were. We don't have to be on the facility all this time. We can do a lot of stuff remotely. With the fact that name, image, and likeness is coming to college football, I am hearing more discussion from college coaches about being open to the idea of going to the NFL as a lifestyle move. Yes, you know, from when you go into training camp in July until your season ends in January, it's a grind. It is a beast like every season is. But once you're done with the season, you can kind of have a life outside of the season. Do you buy into that compared to college football? You know a lot of college football and pro coaches as well. How would you compare the lifestyles, and are you hearing college coaches making some similar comments?
First of all, the only time NFL coaches get a break is 2 weeks in June. That's it. They got to worry about the draft. They got to worry about free agency. Unlike college coaches, they got an entire offseason program, different stages of it in which they are the head of it. They have to ride herd over all their players who are supposed to be adhering to the offseason program. College coaches don't have it either. Yes, they don't have to recruit as many, but they are recruiting free agents. It's sometimes
right.
It takes more than money. I've never known a head coach who came in after 6 a.m. I've never known a head coach who went home before 8 to 10 p.m. I'm amazed they don't have more health issues.
Yes.
And this year, because they also had to deal with coronavirus protocols set down by the NFL and navigate channels they'd never had to think about, the job was even tougher for them, and they had to be able to adjust on the fly, like Cleveland losing 4 coaches, including Kevin Stefanski, before a playoff game. So I think it's tough on both of them, but you've got just as many or more hours than in NFL to work than you do, because you make a lot of money and you want to make sure you earn that money. As far as college coaches trying to come for head coaching jobs, I haven't heard that. And as far as assistant coaching jobs, maybe. Assistant coaches work a lot too, but not as much as those head coaches do. And of course, they're under enormous pressure. They have to meet with the media every day. It's a different media market from where a lot of those college coaches come from, where they can treat people, they can be rude, they can blow them off, they can do whatever they want, because in a lot of cases, they're bigger than the governor. In the NFL, nobody is, including Bill Belichick, the greatest coach in NFL history.
Let's talk about your town of Houston. First of all, have you canceled your dinner reservation at James Harden's restaurant, which is inauspiciously now, I believe, scheduled to open in about a week, the week after he has blown town?
James Harden quit on his team. He quit on his team a long time ago, and he ripped them. He should have just said he wanted out. He didn't need to say it's not fixable. That's a shot at the new coach, Steven Silas, the players they brought in, and they're mad about it. And the controversy was ongoing. Harden was getting killed by fans and media here for weeks. He came in out of shape. He looked like he played for the Texans. He wasn't scoring like he did before. He just quit on him to get what he wanted. And I understand it's a business. You want to get traded somewhere. You do what you can do, but you don't quit on your players. You don't not play hard. You don't show up out of shape. You don't take shots at your teammates and your coach. It was, boy, it is bitter as can be here. I can't wait till Harden comes back with the Nets when they're able to have a sold-out crowd. They'll be scalping tickets, Clay. It'll be like the Super Bowl in Houston.
We're talking to John McClain, Houston Chronicle. Deshaun Watson, simultaneously, you guys in Houston have found yourself the center of turmoil in the professional sports marketplace. Is this story between he and the owner and the GM, the new GM and everything else, overplayed nationally, underplayed? How would you assess Deshaun Watson's relationship going forward with the Texans and where we're going from here?
It's absolutely overplayed. All anonymous sources being leaked by people close to Watson. Watson has not weighed in on it. Here's what I'm told by everybody who covered Nick Caserio, worked with him, or used to work with him. And I did podcast stories. Fans are ripping me for doing puff pieces on Nick Caserio. I said, it's because everybody I talk to speaks highly of him. Nobody says anything negative. And everybody says he's a great talker. He's got 6 Super Bowl rings. Watson wants to win one. He can tell Watson, you want to win a Super Bowl? I know how to win a Super Bowl. It starts with a great quarterback. Let's do this together. Watson never said anything about wanting to be involved in a general manager search. It was all about the head coach. And it's Casario's baby. He came in Monday. He reached out to 4 coaches. He'll reach out to more. One of them was Eric Bieniemy. And he'll hire the coach. And when he does, he'll run it by Watson, I'm sure. And then everything will be hunky-dory. Everybody's hoping they'll hire Eric Bieniemy, but if he goes to Super Bowl, usually Super Bowl coaches don't get head coaching jobs except in a rare instance. But I'd love to see him hire Bieniemy. People here would be fired up. He might get another job before that. And if the owner fired Jack Easterby, the executive VP of football operations, to wipe his hands of everything associated with Bill O'Brien and then hired Eric Bieniemy, it'd be just the opposite here. People be on cloud nine.
Let's go into the four games. We're talking to John McClain, been covering the NFL for 45 years. He's at the Houston Chronicle. I appreciate him getting up early with us on this Friday morning, breaking everything down. Tomorrow, John, we've got Rams, Packers, and we've got Ravens, Bills, Saturday games. What do you expect to see in those two contests? Who do you favor? Who do you think wins?
I think the Ravens-Bills is going to be the best game in the NFL this weekend. Maybe not the one everybody wants to see for nostalgia purposes, like the Bucs and the Saints. But Baltimore is on a roll. Baltimore runs the ball great, played great defense in Tennessee. And Josh Allen is having an outstanding season. It's so hard, Clay, to get you wrap your head around the fact a year ago the Texans beat Josh Allen. He had a bad second half in a wild card game. Texans have gone down the toilet, and the Bills have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be the way we want to see playoff football, cold, low 30s, maybe some snow, outdoors in Buffalo. I just can't wait, and I'm picking the Ravens to win that game. As great a defense as the Rams have played, it's going to be, I think it's hard for a Southern California team to go into Lambeau Field in January, where it's also supposed to be in the low 30s, and win. With Aaron Rodgers playing as great as he's playing, he's going to have a test. Brandon Staley, who may be the coordinator with the Rams 1 year before he becomes a head coach, because so many teams have requested interviews, I think they'll make it good for a while, but Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are going to win that game.
All right, Sunday. We've got the Browns on the road against the Chiefs and the Bucs on the road against the Saints. What happens in your mind with those two games?
Browns are a great story. We saw it. What a great game. Don't even have their head coach, and they still beat their dreaded rival at Heinz Field. They can run the ball. They got two running backs, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, the starter. Both are tremendous. If the weather's bad in Kansas City, they can run it. They should run it and run some more and keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. But I think the Chiefs, who won a bunch of games by single digits, are going to come alive and win this handily. And Patrick Mahomes is headed for a second consecutive Super Bowl.
And finally, this game, to me, you've been covering the NFL for a long time. I mean, about half the time you've been covering the NFL, you've been covering Tom Brady stories. I think Brady has been wildly better than anybody could have expected him to be in his first season with the Bucs. He looks like he found the fountain of youth. And meanwhile, Drew Brees, there are rumors this could be it for him. This could be his last opportunity to potentially go back to the Super Bowl. How do you see this one shaking out? And I agree with you. I think the best game on Saturday is Ravens-Bills, and I think the best game on Sunday is Bucs-Saints.
For Brady to throw 40 touchdown passes is amazing. He had to learn a new offense. He had some rough edges to work out. They got a good defense. The Saints pounded them twice, humiliated them in Tampa. I think that Brady and the Buccaneers are going to win this game and go to Lambeau. And I think it's going to be Drew Brees' swan song, and then he'll retire and go to NBC. But, man, I wouldn't mind either one of these quarterbacks winning. I'd like to see a close game, both of them to play well. But what incredible careers, first ballot, Hall of Famers, of course. And but I think the Bucs are going to win it.
Is it fascinating to you as it is to me that the AFC has all these young gun quarterbacks, right? You've got Patrick Mahomes, who's the best quarterback in the NFL, certainly of a young age. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, all of these guys in the AFC as they get ready, and certainly Baker Mayfield is super young too, all basically 25 or under. And then you got 43-year-old Brady, 41-year-old Brees. I think that Aaron Rodgers, like 37, 38 years old, whatever the heck he is. And then Jared Goff kind of sliding in there. Isn't it kind of fascinating the way the NFC is the old gunslingers and the AFC has turned into the new generation?
It is. And you left out Deshaun Watson, who's 25 as well, coming off a great season. But those old guys, Brady, 40 touchdowns, Rodgers 48 touchdowns. If Drew Brees had been healthy the whole time, no telling what he would have thrown for. But Rodgers doesn't look like he's going to slow down anytime soon. And he said he wants to play into his 40s. Based on what we've seen with Brady, they may play till they're 45 years old. So it is the disparity is unbelievable. And that's why it'll be interesting to see if a young gun like Mahomes or Lamar Jackson can win, or Josh Allen could win a Super Bowl over Brady, Brees, or Rodgers, the favorite.
Outstanding, as always, John McClain. Have a fantastic weekend. We appreciate you getting up early with us, and we will look forward to talking to you again soon.
Clay, I'm so excited about the games tomorrow and Sunday. I can't sleep anyway. Happy to do it, as always. Have a great weekend and enjoy the games.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So we got four different games going on. Two on Saturday, Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills. Two on Sunday, Browns, Chiefs, Bucks, Saints. I'm going to be watching all of them. I bet you are going to be watching all of them. I bet a huge percentage of our audience right now is going to be watching either all of these games or a substantial portion of them. I said earlier that the game that I'm most interested in, I think I'm flip-flopping a little bit, is Ravens, Bills. And in our poll question, the two that you're most interested in watching were Ravens, Bills, Bucks, Saints. But what I want to get to here a little bit is who has the most at stake? Which player or team has the most at stake in this divisional round playoff game? And to me, the answer is probably whoever wins the Ravens, Bills. Because if you get to the AFC Championship game, whether you are Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, yes, you aren't quite to the Super Bowl yet, but if you have won two playoff games at their age, you have become effectively a made man in the NFL. That's a big deal at their age to win two playoff games, and there's no longer any real doubt about whether you can lead a team to a Super Bowl. You may not do it. You might lose. But I think those two guys are still the ones with the most at stake, just like I said they were last week. Dub, do you agree or disagree with that theory?
Well, I agree with your theory. But to me, the one guy that has the most at stake is Aaron Rodgers. This is back-to-back years the Packers have gone 13-3. And I think it's fair to say this year's version is, I think, substantially better. I think last year was kind of a fugazi.
Smoke and mirrors a little bit with the 13-3.
If they don't win this game against the Rams, how big of a disappointment would that loss be? I mean, it's got to be by far the biggest disappointing loss that is even possible this weekend. Because if you go down the list,
I think it's actually up there, Breeze would be.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think it'd be a much bigger disappointment for Green Bay if they lost to the Rams with either an injured Jared Goff or financial advisor at quarterback, rather than Breeze losing to Tom Brady. I think Aaron Rodgers winning two Super Bowls would mean more to his legacy than Drew Brees, because Drew Brees, fair or not, has never really been in the conversation of the greatest of all time, and yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers has, and he absolutely will be with another ring to his resume.
Yeah, it's a good argument. I think Brees has a lot at stake because of the disappointing run that the Saints have had in the playoffs, other than the year they beat Peyton Manning, which was, God, a long time ago now. What was that, like 2009?
I think it's 09.
9 or 10, whatever
Packers
it was. Yeah,
in 2010.
Okay, so in the last three times in the Super Bowl, sorry, in the playoffs, the Saints have lost on the final play of the game, right? They lost on the Minneapolis Miracle. They lost on the non-call interference that later led to a big kick by Zuerlein, I think it was, Greg the Leg for the Rams. And then they lost on the Kyle Rudolph touchdown pass last year. If they lose again in the Superdome, I think that one hangs over Drew Brees' head a little bit, just because I think it's likely to be his final game. But in terms of the most to win, I don't think there's any doubt at all. I think it's Josh Allen or it's Lamar Jackson. All right, I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We're going to come back for the third hour of the week, third hour of the Friday show, finally. The final hour of the week up next. We are going to be joined by Dr. David Chow. He will tell you the latest on health-related issues. Final hour of the week up next. This is Outkick. We're breaking down more on the divisional round of the playoff games and talking Urban to the Jags on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis.